www.radio.co.uk.
Music in the programme is sponsored by Epidemic Sound, perfect music for audio and video productions.
You're listening to The Naked Scientist with me, James Titko. Still to come, the molecular sieve making carbon capture less costly. But first, earlier in the week, it was, of course, Halloween, and the Naked Scientists were treated to an invite from Cambridge University's Botanic Garden, but with a terrifying twist. This was an opportunity Will Tingle and I thought too good to pass up on. Will, another day, another expedition you've led us on. Where are we and what are we doing this time?
Well, James, I've come to scare you senseless. We've been very kindly invited to Cambridge's Botanical Garden to sample some of their spookiest, most Halloween-appropriate plant life.
So is there anticipation here that the plants themselves, they look scary or they do something scary?
Maybe even a bit of both, James.
Well, yeah, good luck scaring me with plants.
Hello, I'm Sally Pettit. I'm Head of Horticulture here at Cambridge University Botanic Garden.
And we're here on our whistle-stop tour of all things spooky and horrible here at the Botanic. Not that anything's that horrible here. What have we got in front of us right here? It's like a purpley-coloured plant. It's covered in little hairs, they look like, and it's got a sign next to it which says, "Smell me."
Well, this is a very rare orchid. It's called Bulbophyllum phalaenopsis, so it's quite a mouthful. And it's flowered on cue for Halloween. So it sort of has a sinister colouring with like deep purpley reddy colouring with those little yellow hairs on each of those little flower hoods, really. But its most intriguing aspect or facet is really the smell that makes it very Halloween-y, perhaps.
Trying to get stuck in.
Oh, yeah.
Get stuck in.
You can have a whiff.
Oh, it's pretty nasty. It's like mouldy.
It's the plant giving off a scent, which some people think is a bit drainy. Some people think is rotting flesh, but it's actually there to attract pollinators. So it will be pollinated by something obscure, a beetle or a fly, that really is drawn to that rotting flesh smell.
Well, we are stood here in front of what you've dubbed the eyeball plant.
We're looking at the seed cluster, really, of this extraordinary climber that scrambles up through host plants in Africa. And it's basically the seeds in a head. So this would have been the flower head. It's developed the seeds, and you've got this kind of white outer arrow almost, so the fleshy part of the fruit. And popping out from the centre of those are these black beady seeds. And together it looks like somebody's bursting eyeball. So this is a small house leek. Latin name is sempervivum, which means always living, and arachnoidium from spider. And it's something that grows through the Alps. It's a European species. So they make these fantastic rosettes. And you can see neighbouring plants have these very, very succulent large leaves, but no cobwebbing. This one's particularly adapted to grow this cobwebbing, which will help protect it.
Very apt. What is it protecting it from?
It will just be protecting it from predation by something that may otherwise go along and just gnaw at those leaves. I mean, I can't imagine that there's a lot high up in the Alps that's going to go along and graze on that. Sort of story goes that they were grown on the roofs of houses to ward off evil spirits.
Well, do you see any old spirits around here?
Get a few passing through. No,
fair enough.
Not doing its job.
Yeah. Well, no exploration of Halloween-themed vegetation would be complete without referencing pumpkins. Now, these are a bit different from the pumpkins you might pick up in the supermarket. I don't think they're pumpkins at all, actually. They just look like them. They're about the size of an eyeball, as it happens.
So this is a member of the potato family, Solanaceae, which is one
potatoes.
Of the...
Potatoes?
Yeah, so it's related to potatoes. But it's more closely resembles tomatoes, which are in the same family. And it's called commonly Cannibal's Tomato.
What's the story behind that name?
It comes from the South Pacific, and story goes that cannibals of that region did use this as accompaniment when they were eating human flesh. What a great story.
A nice pairing, I'm sure. Yeah, I wonder what it would taste like. Probably better than human flesh. You've got me in front of this maggot-riddled eyeball here. What are you playing out?
This is a member of the mulberry family. It's a plant called Brucinetti kazinoki. It's the Kozo paper mulberry, so you can make paper from it. But I think the most interesting thing about this are the amazing fruits.
They almost look like fingers coming out of the centre fruit, in a way.
Oh, they do, don't they? They look as if they're like little fingers with tiny nails on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is how this plant distributes its seeds. So these like little orange, like almost pustules, are actually the seeds.
It's getting worse.
And birds come along and eat these. They're quite sweet. They're quite juicy and succulent. But they are just bonkers to look at.
This is intense closure for me here. I've seen this fruit, plant, whatever it is, around in the wild for about 10 years and I've never known how to identify it. Could you please put me out of my misery?
This is a tree from North America called the Osage Orange, or Maclura pomifera. So it's named after a William McClure, who is a geologist, and pomifera describes the fruit because it, in theory, looks a bit like an apple, but it doesn't altogether look like an apple, really. We refer to these as gardener's brains. Sort of a limey green, nearly limey yellowy green, and they have all these fantastic kind of like fissures across the surface, so it's quite rough and it does resemble a brain.
We've entered the spooky forest. This tree here, the colour palette especially, reminds me anyway of a zombie, sort of the green flesh and then the haggard bark, and then that tree over there is looking pretty ghostly. What part of the Botanic Garden are we in here?
We're in the Gilbert Carter woodland, so it's quite a naturalistic kind of area of the garden. In spring we let all the cow parsley grow up, so it's all soft and lovely and quite daydreamy, and this time of year we lose all the grass, but it highlights the trees, particularly when they lose their leaves as well, and you get these fantastic bark colourings and things.
Very distinct look to the trunk.
It's a slightly peeling bark, so it's a dogwood. This is Wilson's dogwood, Cornus wilsoniana, and many of the dogwoods are renowned for their coloured stems, so they have brilliant reds and oranges, as in our winter garden. But here, this is much more subtle. Yeah, just quite an unusual tree, but it just has that, I think, a moodiness about it that's a bit like, ooh.
So, James, are you suitably spooked after that chilling experience?
Well, just a big thanks to you, actually, Will. I've very much enjoyed my time looking at all